Apologize to everybody. I don't know what happened there with the well, I kind of have a feeling I know what happened there. The website went down. Let me just double check it. And but everything else was working. is because Bing, you know, MSN bot was crawling the website during the children's study, and they were pulling like 7 or 8 meg every now and then. Throw the little quick spikes, which really doesn't cause a problem, but it might cause a problem. So I turned on my let's just call it limitation software, and Doesn't seem to be working now, though. I turned it on to try to prevent. It's got to be someone else crawling the site right now that I can cripple them and stop them. Because they're pulling 11 meg right now. And it's just Satan messing around. Let me open up the resource meter to figure out where this is going, why it's happening the way it's happening, because I can usually get it from their PID numbers when they do this. So just give me a second here. Otherwise, if they keep doing this, it's going to knock everybody out of the streams and the radio and the video streams. And so looks like we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row on this particular PID. So let me go into line limiter here. Go to POGM. Go to the server. Go to the, there it is, process 232. And they are pulling quite a bit. Okay, process 232. Let me if I can yank them all at the same time, I think, and I can, but the net it's sporadic though. It's not really see, it's like 2 megs now. That's normal for the radio. Okay, whatever it is, I gave up. So praise the Lord. But if it starts happening again, I got them tagged, and I'll just click a key, and it will cripple them. Let me hit add rule. I'll put in 5 kilobits. No, I better not do it now, because if they're not there, because I don't want to cripple the site, because it might, because I think that's what happened before. It was, I clicked the process that MSNBot was doing. Let me just say, oh, the site's still up. All right, cool. So we'll just leave it at that. So I'll just knock that all down. And but I have the tools I need if I have. So, yeah, 2 or 3 meg for WTBR, that's fine. So we're good there. And so, oh, yeah, good. So a bunch of people just came on the video stream, too, and the video's only going, you know, the valley is 5, the peak, and the mountain, or the peak is 9. So we got plenty. So if you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much for blessing us and keeping us safe as we do this work for you. Thank you for the hedge veins around each and every one of us as individuals and as your son's bride. Because we're doing this together. We're doing this because you're moving us to do this. Thank you for the additional courage, the faith, the discernment, the meekness, the love, the gentleness, wisdom, all of it that we need to go forth. But ever more so, when that latter rain falls, where we're going to have a boldness like we've never had before. Some of us are thinking that we might be fearful. No, no, no. You're going to take that completely away, and we're going to stand firm. And so thank you, Father, for that in advance of that, and blessing us with every time we go into our studies, so that when we go into study, we'll have that much more truth to share with those you send our way. We love you, Father, and we thank you for loving us first, and thank you for being with us right now as we continue on this Sabbath day. We offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is forever our King and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, and that's one of the reasons, too, if you'll notice, like if you try to go to, I had to do this last night. Well, actually, I had it set months ago, but I flipped the switch last night. Let me go there real quick for you if I get the Edge browser up. I'll just go to John 14:29 now. If you go to John 14:29, we'll look at the Pixark. Oh, there they go. They're coming in. You're going to see that because people do, and even if they have the exact address of the video and they try to put it in, now they're going to get this page. Well, actually, they'll get a 404. And so they can't, because that's what they did. This is why I set it up months ago, because while we were having church services, someone came in to John 14:29, started downloading. Even though I got it set to let them only watch one video at a time, some people have 3 or 4 computers. And so it was causing us issues with connections for people. So I just built this little sidetrack, if you will. So we'll be good. So today it's Q&A. But it's Q&A is more or less the reason for this page on my site. Let me just go back to the John, or not John 14, 29. Let's go to Remnant of God. Because what I'm about to share, you're going to get all of it. I put this thing, remember years ago when I first started doing the site with fancy graphics? Because I had some really goofy graphics. And I started, if you go on the Wayback Machine, you know what I mean. Please don't laugh when you say it. But, hey, man, we were all new to the Internet. Especially when it came to dial-up. Boy, it took you a week to download my front page. But, yeah, if you go here, that first little click there, this is, there's the cat. We have a little card that, exposes Christmas quickly. But I think there's a link on this card. Oh, yeah, there it is, Xmas, right here. I don't know if you can see my mouse. Yeah, you can. Yeah, I can't remember where I got this thing from. 'Tis the season. But I'm not going to share everything that you see here because we'll be here forever. I mean, if I scroll down, you'll understand why. I do have one new one I'm going to put on this week, next week. It'll be on there before next Xmas. So, because it's something I don't know why I never put it on there before. It's something you see all the time this time of the year. But I'll post this page here again later if you want all this other stuff that's in here. But I'm just going to touch on a few things of questions that people have asked me over the years in regards to, why do we do this or why do they do this on Christmas? And so I'd like to share that with you all here. So let me, I'm not going to go from this page. I got some of my own private notes I'm going to go with, especially when it comes to the new one I'm going to put on here. So let me go back to that page and get this thing out of my way so I can see my notes. All right. And where are my notes? There they are. Okay. So, but like I was saying, and I've done this every year, at around this time of the year. It never was where it was exactly the day after Christmas, if you want to call it that, because I don't like using the term Merry Christmas. I mean, but most people don't know what the term means, and so you kind of let it slide because the Lord's going to wink, I'm going to wink. They don't really know, but I'm going to add, like I say, a new one on my Is Christmas Christian page. That's the... I wonder if the Edge browser shows up when I... No, if I knock the Edge browser down, it won't show up. Okay, well, that's okay. Will it show up if I go behind my notes? Let's see. It's not knocked down. Yeah, it does. So I can leave it there. Okay. So anyway, I'm not sure why I missed this, but it appears I never mentioned the origins of the so-called Christmas wreath that many people place on their doors during this time of the year. And I looked this up, I don't have a lot of the... That's why I'm saying it might take me a week or two. It'll definitely be on the site before next year, kind of a thing, because I'm not done with the research on this. Just the other day, I happened to go... It was kind of like one of my V8 moments. And what I mean by V8 moment is you slap your forehead. Remember the commercials, I don't know, decades ago about, I could have had a V8, and the guy slaps his forehead. Well, I had a V8 moment earlier this week, and I thought, man, I never mentioned the wreath. Yeah, let me get more water here. That one is, boy, it is impossible to open these little things up when you got a purple thumb. No, it's not purple yet, but... If Fran helped me out last night with a poultice, and it seems like it did help a little bit. So I'm a little bit better. But anywho, the word wreath actually comes from the Old English term wreathen, or writhan, or whatever however you want to say it. And it actually means to twist. And yes, it does seem quite fitting when you think about it, because as you will soon see, the only way to make anyone believe that Christmas is a Christian holiday or has anything to do with the birth of Christ, this can only be done if you twist truth or the scriptures or even the historic record of anything, you know. All right, so the wreath actually dates back to the Persian Empire. I didn't notice. And ancient Egyptians, as well as ancient Greece, had wreaths. In the Persian Empire, the wreaths were called diadems and were considered a sign of power or authority and, you know, was usually worn as a headdress. But back then, they were usually, you know, made of fabric. And, of course, they would be covered in jewels and baubles and whatever. But pagan kings and queens were usually the ones that wore them. And so, but the ancient Egyptians also wore the wreath as a headdress, but they made theirs out of flowers. And finally, in ancient Greece, and then as is obvious also by the ancient statues in Rome, the wreaths were made of leaves and branches from the bay laurel, whatever that is. I guess it's a bush or something. And they were worn by emperors as well as awarded onto warriors as a symbol of honor. You know, one can also find it. Romans, I was shocked when I heard about this because, boy, this just, everything points to Rome, but all roads lead to Rome kind of thing. But Romans would award, you know, Roman emperors would award their winning athletes with the laurel wreath as well. And to show everybody that they're an athlete, you know, like the gold medals of today. You know, they got the wreath on it, right? Why is the wreath there? Well, it's been there because they were giving the guys wreaths back in the Colosseum when the athletes would win, and the athletes would take them home and hang them on their doors to let everybody know, look, I'm all that, you know, show off and all that. And so many followed their lead to do the same thing as a sign of victory for just about any reason. Yeah, I got a job. Boink, put a wreath on the door or whatever. So, but later, thanks to pagan Rome giving their pagan traditions onto papal Rome, as both Daniel and Revelation prophesied they would do, we then saw that the papal power mixed their paganism with Christianity, and now we see people using the Christmas wreath as a way to mark the winter solstice, which was celebrated by pagans as a way to glorify Baal for eons. And yeah, that's why it's made into a circle, to depict the sun as well as a halo, that we see in the Catholic paintings to this day, as you know, so that is to declare that Baal is blessing the one, because Baal is right there with them as a halo on their head or something like that. And by the way, Brother Joe, I hope you're recording, because I just realized I forgot to hit the record button on my end because I was busy trying to fix the issue with the server. Let me just double check, because I still have my limiter running here. Okay, site's still up. So it had to be that one fluke, because boy, did I cripple them. They went from 8 meg down to 5 kilobits. Really slowed them down. Which means I'm not going to stop them from crawling. That's nice that they crawl like Bing, but are they going to yank it that heavy when we're doing church? No, not nice, not nice. I mean, I'll turn it off after church, of course. You know, you can take all the bandwidth you want. I don't use it, except on Sabbath for church. But this wreath thing is also why we see statues, and I don't see the text chat here. Are you? I don't know if Joe heard me. Okay, thanks, bro. All right, thanks. So, all right, so the wreath. We've all seen like a bust of Caesar. You know, I even think they might even have a full-fledged statue with arms and everything of Caesar where he's wearing the wreath, depending upon which Caesar. It could be, you know, Nero, Augustus, whoever. All of them, all their little goofy, you know, pontificates is the Latin term for their whatever. It's the same term for the Pope, pontificate. So, so that you'd always see the, you know, with them on their head, and so every so-called Catholic saint with a glowing halo behind them is, you know, stems back from Rome, as why I said earlier, like when the winning athlete or a like a winning soldier in a war, he got the wreath to put on his head. Or even the what are the guys that fought in the Colosseum and they would kill people? I can't remember the name of them guys, but they would get the, huh? Yeah, the gladiators. Yeah, thanks, Fran. And it's no mistake that every pope and every American president has been purposely photographed in our lifetime. And I'm going to show you some pictures some of you may never have seen before. with a light source directly behind them so as to make it appear they have a halo. Check it out. Let me go to... Man, I should have made a different browser here. I guess I'm going to have to go to Remnant of God, and let me just see. I'll just see if I can get the link. Copy hyperlink. Okay, hopefully it'll let me do it, because I don't much care for... let's see if it works. Okay, good, it did. Let me go to the Edge browser here. All right, now... For those of you on the stream, you just saw it come to the screen, because I stream too. I have one little Raspberry Pi that I have sitting here that watches everything on a 5-inch screen, just to make sure it's going. And praise the Lord that the stream is working. We got quite a few in there. Praise His name. But anyway, look at all the halos. I mean, look at the first one there with that Obama with the sun rising in the background over a flag. That was a Muslim prophecy, if you will. This is, you know, because the O is rising and that's symbolic of him. Look at it, make it a halo. But they'll actually take pictures to make it look like a halo. I mean, look at it. I wonder if this page will even work after December 31st, because I think it's based on JavaScript. I can't remember what the software is that I bought. But I know my MP3 player and a couple other flash things that I have on the site won't work. But let's just see here. There's one here that's really obvious. I mean, just look at them all. I mean, it's just like here, just making sure he's got a light source behind him so they take the picture. And this one here, you know, they got a light source behind him. And this one, he's standing under. They purposely take these pictures and then they put them. Look at this. Okay, this one's taking a bit to come in. Am I pushing the server? No, I'm not. Okay, that one's not coming in for some. Well, Rolling Stone magazine, you can see it, the little thumbnail there, it looks like it. And then Time magazine, see? And then here, I mean, they overdid it with Obama in a big way, making him Messiah and all this. There was, somebody, you know, actually did that because this is, come on, you guys, this is getting ridiculous. Somebody actually made a statue of Obama and made a halo out of, like, a... those little light sticks you can buy, but this one was ridiculous. Oh, come on, you know, with the fancy clothing on, you know, formal clothing. But this is not the only one that, there's quite a few, obviously, but I'm not going to go into all those. I have some others that I'm going to show you here, but I have to get back to my notes. I don't know if this one here, I don't know if this, let's pick up Obama, copy of hyperlink, maybe I should, I'll put the notes over on this monitor for now, just for the sake of making it easy for me. Let me see, this one's different, I don't know. Oh yeah, remember this, yeah, the first gay president, they call him, right? And then the halo is rainbow colored, so... But then check this one out of Pope Francis. Let me copy the hyperlink. These hyperlinks are in my notes. Look at that one. Okay. I had a bunch of these about with Pope John Paul II and others of Ratzinger, Benedict, but I couldn't find them. I was looking and looking and looking yesterday. I couldn't find it, but I did find this one of John Paul II. Let me just see if I can get this for you, hyperlink. But this is part of the wreath thing. This is all, you know, the Baal thing, see? That was an actual painting that somebody made of him and, sought to glorify him. I ran across this one yesterday, and I had, I actually had this one on my computer, forgot about it, and when I saw it, I was shocked, and I go, wait a second, this is, I already had this, but look at that. And it's made of a wreath. It's a wreath. So that's like a bay laurel wreath around her head. You know, Hillary Clinton. And I feel so sorry for her. You know, because I try to look at her as a little baby girl, you know, try to look at her as an infant and say, oh man, let somebody talk to her before she gets too old and, you know, gets all corrupted up. But check this out. Now, this site, I think that's what this site is dedicated to do. But look at Bush, you know, and that, let me just, okay, now it just came in on the stream. But, yeah, a lot of people on the stream, praise the Lord, so it looks like we're going to handle it. We got no problems. Praise the Lord. But look at them all. I mean, there's obviously this is just, well, no, Tony Blair down there on the bottom. But, yeah, they do this on regular, even Trump, they do it with every president, you know. And let me just see if there's a Seymour on here. Okay, then it just stops short. It's just showing the presidents. It's not doing the halo thing. I did find, if I went up in here, where was it? Nope. I can't remember, but this site had, oh, there, maybe that's it. Nope. Again, he goes back to Google. So, but there was something here. Oh, this is a Google spinoff. Okay, yeah, there's the M-Girl. So I never, but you get my point, is where I was going with all this, okay? So the REITs also, now check this out. This was new, some I didn't realize. So like I'm going to dig, and I'm going to try to find all the data on this so that I can have this on the site on the Christmas page soon. I'll just put it that way. the REITs also held candles, different colors for different reasons, with the, you know, in the wreath because of the return, the hope of a return of warmer days, because we all know why this is all being done in the first place is because they worship the sun of the god, son of the fire, you know, the sun god. And this all came from Rome, obviously, with their annual midwinter celebration called Saturnalia, during which they also worshipped Saturn, who was the god of agriculture or sowing, from December 17th to the 23rd. And for Saturnalia, Romans used the holly wreath instead as a decoration to honor Baal, as long as it's circular. Just like all the churches out there, you'll see on the top of their roofs, some of them will have a cross on the top of their steeple, which is already phallic and vulgar, but they got a cross up there. Well, some of them put a circle in the middle of the cross and say, oh, that's just to depict where the heart of Christ is. That's a bold-faced lie. That circle represents Baal. The plus sign in the middle of the circle represents Baal. That's why the Romans would hang people and kill them on crosses as an offering unto Baal. And that's why Satanists to this day will get a job as abortionists. And so it is obvious as to, you know, to me anyway, that why they also worship Saturn, because of all the rings, you know, the Baal thing looking thing. And since we all know that the world wonders after the beast, we know the Vatican wrote the Quran. And for those of you that are a little shocked at what I just said there, stick around here. Let me get the Edge browser back up. Let's go to back to Remnant of God, RCC Exposed, go down to Pope wrote Quran. Watch this video. This guy actually explains. I made this video years ago. And then somebody asked for permission to copy it, and then he'll put me on his site. And he had hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people on his site, but he never put me on his main site, and I asked him, just don't edit the video, and he did. He edited out, he kind of like chopped it up so that no one could see my website addresses and the Bible verses and stuff. But you can still see him because he couldn't get them out. But this guy's an ex-Muslim who became Roman Catholic because of all the Mary worship stuff going on in the Quran. But there's a lot more than that on this page. I got a bunch of videos I made, as well as headlines. Okay, let me get out of that, though, because I had to pull out the graphics, because a lot of times it would, because I glean them, and I know I shouldn't do that, but I glean them just to make it quicker. But where was it? Links to topic. Oh, no, this, I'm thinking, Catholicism versus Islam. There's another page that Sister Vera helps me with on every now and then. Let's see, if we go to links on topic, maybe it's in there. Here it is right there, Pope and Islam. And I don't know if you could see all the different symbols inside this graphic I made. That's supposedly Mary. I got that off the internet, and I grained it out on purpose because I wanted these symbols to stand out that I put in the background. Because she's the ecumenical god of the world today. You know, Queen of Heaven in Jeremiah chapter 7, obviously, the pagan Queen of Heaven. And then she's, you know, she's all over the place in the Quran, right? And then I got that section here, Islam and Catholicism compared with everything from, you know, child molestation to killing Christians. And then here's that rising sun thing. I explain why Obama used this particular thing, and that has to do with the wreath, obviously. But, oh, I got to get past these articles. That's going to take a while. So I'm just going to click here for the links. Okay, I just recently started doing this with the religion of peace question there in regards to when they kill a Christian and they still call themselves believers of God. And I put the article up. But how many do I have in here? If you click the 500, it'll bring you to 535 articles. And, yeah, a lot of, so I started right around there. So I've been doing that for a while. So about a year I've been doing the red stuff. But yeah, that's just, you know, the wreath is, for those of you that don't know, Ramadan is also a holy month for Muslims, wherein at the conclusion of Ramadan, the end of their fast is marked by a three-day celebration called Eid al-Fitr. I guess I probably massacred the word, but where at the end of that fast, and you could probably verify this with Sister Vera. I don't know if she's here today, but they hang wreaths on their doors, and so it gets everywhere. All the roads lead to Rome. All the world wanders after the beast. But to summarize, the wreath today is mostly displayed as a way to invite Christmas, the Christmas spirit, into the home. Which, if you stay tuned, it's not a spirit any Christian would want in their homes. And so, but notice what the Word of God says about doing those things the wicked have done before you. Because, like when the Lord would conquer a nation for Israel, He would always say, "Don't follow their lead. You worship Me and Me alone." Okay, and so, but check it out. It's 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And then I'll go to Deuteronomy 12. But 1 Kings 18, verse 21 says this. 18, verse 21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." And we all know what happened next or beforehand as well. You know, when they were all cutting themselves and telling, "Oh, maybe your God's sleeping." So, you know, he put it succinctly that the God of heaven answered prayers. The God of hell does not. The dying God of hell does not. He'll fake the answers to prayers, but when Elijah did what he did, no, Satan was totally bound on that. Satan has been wanting to cause fire to come down from heaven ever since. That's why he invented the things he's eating. Like when California had all those fires and those trees were burning on the inside, and then people were seeing beams coming out of the sky. I mean, come on. Cars don't melt when trees burn. Cars don't melt when cars burn. They just get all charred up and the paint disappears and they get all rusty. These cars melted. Okay, so they were, you know, testing weapons and having a blast doing it. And so the next one is Deuteronomy 12, verses 29 to 32. It says, "When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them." So there you go. The Lord's already, he says, okay, he cut off the nations. He fought them and destroyed them for Israel. And he's telling us, "Now when I do this, don't be following their lead." And it says, "And thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land. Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them. After that, they be destroyed from before thee." Because that's why they were destroyed, is what he means. "And that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise." Because that's just silly if you think about it. Because look, they were destroyed. Their gods couldn't help them. But people are stupid and Satan is strong, right? So going on, well, to weak people anyway. Satan can't defeat a Christian. Going on, it says, "Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth hath they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in fire to their gods." That's Moloch, Molech, Chemosh, and then today it's abortion. As a matter of fact, in the early days of abortion, they would use salt solution abortions, which would be like throwing the child in acid, burning the child to death. So they were doing it just like Chemosh, and that was like in the 60s and 70s, or 70s, I think. They actually used the salt abortion, and the kid came out third-degree burns covered. Head to toe. Killed him. Or her. And so, love of many. Wax cold, big time. And they knew it. They knew what that stuff was doing to those babies. You know, the abortionists. So, but anyway, "For even their sons and their daughters, they had burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." So, now, What I'm about to share is only a fraction of what I have online. So I'm going to do this. I'll probably be done in 20 minutes. Okay, so I'm going to go like 10 minutes over a 30-minute sermon. Okay? So it's only a fraction of what I said earlier on my Xmas page, if you will. remnantofgod.org/xmas.htm or just remnantofgod.org/xmas, but that page I haven't updated recently, so, but it's got plenty on it. But there's just way too much proof that Christmas is the embodiment of ancient paganism. Sharing multiple quotes from historic record on each point will make this sermon, we'll be here until Thursday. Okay, so if you need more data on each point, you can just go to my Christmas Christian page. And for those of you that, why isn't the Edge browser coming up? If you want how to get there, just go to remnantofgod.org like you see on the stream for those of you, and just go to the RCC, no, go to the warning section. Go to the holidays. Now, you can click the holidays one, and of course it doesn't work. All right, never mind. But you go to holidays and you go down to Christmas, and this is the page, and there's the all the stuff that you, there's even a section here which I'll touch on in a little bit for the Seventh-day Adventists, where I got tons of quotes from the Spirit of Prophecy saying how the Seventh-day Adventists are doing Christmas today proves they are in fact Roman Catholics. They are not Seventh-day Adventists anymore. Okay, and so, but let me get my notes back up here, and I guess I don't want to leave that on screen. It's just annoying. So, have you ever wondered why it's called Christmas? There's only a few points I want to point out in this sermon or this Q&A day, because these are questions that have been asked. Why do they call it Christmas? Well, we all know that Christ is the term for Messiah, or Jesus the Christ, right? But notice this was notice this about the term Mass, which is a pagan term. And I get this from Notre Dame, the Ave Maria Press, no less, right? 1955, the year of my birth, right? It's from Indiana, no less. Yeah, it's Notre Dame, obviously. So, but it's a priest by the name of John O'Brien. There you go, nice Irish name. And he titled it Understanding the Catholic Faith. And he said this. This is how he defines the Mass. And this is also, I also have a definition from the Catholic Encyclopedia, and that's it. I've got tons of more definitions and stuff, but I'm not going to go crazy with this because we'll be here for hours. I don't want to do that. And so he says the Mass is the unbloody, did you get that? Unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary's cross. I'm going to share a Bible verse for you in a minute in regards to how that's useless, unbloody. So anyway, Christ, he says, Christ through his ministry of the Roman Catholic priest, did you get that? Through the ministry, oh no, he says Christ, through the ministry of the Roman Catholic priest, offers himself to God in an unbloody manner under the appearances of bread and wine. The Mass is the same sacrifice as the sacrifice of the cross because the victim is the same. Yeah, they just called your Messiah their victim. That's why he's still dead on their cross. He's their victim. That's something. The purpose of the Mass, he goes on to say, is, among other things, to satisfy the justice of God for the sins committed against him. Right now, and for a rather blunt definition of the term Mass, notice, because he tried to water it down as best he could, because the Vatican's own encyclopedia says this on page 537 of the Catholic Encyclopedia. It says Mass in the Christian, that's the word, so the definition is in the Christian law, which is no such thing. They call themselves Christians, but they're not, but that's how Satan works. It's like a spy. If a spy wants to infiltrate America from Russia, he's going to act like he's an American. So Satan wants to infiltrate the Christian church, he's going to call himself a Christian. So in the Christian law, the supreme sacrifice is that of the Mass. The supreme act of worship consists essentially in an offering of a worthy victim to God. The offering made by a proper person as a priest, the destruction of the victim. Now, do we not believe Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 and 12, and then verse 18? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 and 12, and then verse 18. It says, "And every priest standing daily, or standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." Okay? He's waxing prophetic here, right? Did we just lose everybody on the stream? Oh, no, they're back. Okay. I mean, that just plummeted it. It went down to zero for a split second there, so. Well, I know we're going to have bandwidth issues. Oh, it just happened again. So. Oh, I see what's happening. Okay. It's hitting the limit. We only got 20 meg. So, but that's okay. And then it drops because there's a peak, and then it drops. And okay, we're good. That scared me. So we'll be okay in a few weeks. We're going to have 50 meg up and down. So we've got plenty of meg for the amount of people we have in there now, which is 42 families. So we'll be more than twice that soon. And then I'm going to do something else that'll bring it even higher. So praise the Lord. But Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 and 12, verse 18 says, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering unto the oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man," Jesus, obviously, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Verse 18 says, "Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." But again, Catholics don't read their Bibles. And the Vatican holds a daily mass. And they do hold the daily mass. My wife and I used to go to them before we left the Catholic Church. It's a 20-minute mass, but it's still every single solitary day. And so in so doing, they are openly killing Christ in their mass each and every day. Many in the Catholic Church don't even realize this, but to do so in this manner is to openly please Satan, who hates Christ with a demonic passion. And we have a ton of evidence, as well as pictures and videos, proving the popes and the prelates of Rome are actually card-carrying devil worshippers masquerading as Christian leaders so as to try and destroy Christianity from within, while at the very same time doing all they can to please Satan by these mock killings of Christ. And I do have many other quotes, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to move on this, but I want to show you a picture first. So I got to get back to the browser and go back to Ram of God. Because some people may not realize that the Pope is a Satanist. The prelates, the bishops, the cardinals are all Satanists. The novice priests, the majority of them are homosexuals. And a large portion of them that aren't homosexuals are doing their best to serve Christ. But they're used as pawns to put off a personification as being a Christian church. But most of them are in it to, you know, glorify Satan. And I can prove it. You go to the horrific section of RCC Exposed. Horrific section. That's where the Jesuit oath is and all this other stuff. And the RCC and sex stuff and whatever, and the homosexual agenda things. Check out the one near the bottom. Oh, yeah. Notice that one. Mother Teresa actually denied God in writing. But they told her to keep doing the work because they needed that $100 million a year that she brought in for donations. And I got it documented too, by the way, on that page. But check it out, Satanism in the Vatican. I got a few videos. I got a couple, not three, four videos on this. Right there, that's the audience hall when you're walking in. See the two fangs? See the two eyes? See the scaled head of the serpent and the long tongue? Right in the middle of those two fangs, see a little white dot back in there? Maybe I can zoom in a little bit there for you. Ooh, that's way too much. But let me scroll. See that little dot, that little white spot right there? That's the Pope. Speaking between the fangs, okay? And I just put the, I got somebody else did this for, you know, online, that serpent face right there. And then that's the outside of the building. So they didn't just make it look like a snake on the inside, they made it look like a snake on the outside. So there's that scaly head, that's the roof. It's an architectural wonder, and it's beautiful, you know, with the way the forms and stuff like that, except for, of course, it looks like a snake, serpent, right? And I got a couple other videos, but there's also... and there's a reason for this too. That's the proper orientation for a keyhole. When you stick your key in the hole, that's why they made the Vatican with a shape like a cross upside down. So if you use the proper orientation of the keyhole, they have an upside down cross as the Vatican proper. That's the Vatican building. That's where the Pope lives, right there. And there's your circle of Baal right on the top. It's like the people that put the circle on the cross. But I did a video here where I might... Oh, there it is. Okay, I've got a bunch of similarities between the Satanist and the Catholic priest. And it's a rather bloody video. And it took me 6 months, maybe a year. I can't remember how long it took me to make the video because I had to stop every now and then because it just grossed me out. And this is why I'm stopping now. It just... I couldn't sit there and look at that for any length of time because it just disgusted me. So let me go back to that. So, the Vatican holds the daily Mass, and in so doing, you know, they're mocking our Lord, and Satan loves it by, you know, the mock killings. And by the way, did you notice, like I said earlier, that the Vatican admits in writing that their Mass is an unbloody sacrifice? There's a reason they said that. Unbloody sacrifice. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. I'll wait for Brother Sean to put it in because you got to see this. They literally said unbloody sacrifice in their writing, in their encyclopedia. Thank you, brother. It literally says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So an unbloody sacrifice is a waste of time. But they do it daily. Now, the term Christmas, now that the term Christmas is defined as a way to mock what happened at Calvary because you got Christ and then you got a Mass connected to it, which means you're saying Christ was, and then the Mass says he's destroyed or he's destroyed victim, you're declaring with the term, in other words, holding a celebration on that day, because actually, did you know when they would burn people at the stake, they called that a celebration? Well, now they do these celebration masses all over the world, and they also celebrate Christmas and Easter, right? So it's a blasphemy when they celebrate it because they're celebrating the fact that Christ was destroyed on the cross, is how they believe it. But check it out when you say Merry Christmas. Merry is defined... It's actually, it was a word that pagans kind of like coined the phrase thousands of years ago, and it means high-spirited, gaiety, jolly, fun, festive, you know, delightful, entertaining, whatever. So the term Merry is great happiness. It means great happiness and joy. And so we already understand that Christ is the title our Lord Jesus has been ordained before the foundation of the world to be our Messiah. We learned earlier that the word Mass is defined as death, sacrifice, or destruction of the victim according to the Vatican itself, and we also know the term Christ here has to do with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you say Merry Christmas, you're actually declaring with great happiness and joy that Jesus is dead and gone, kind of like the crucifix in the Catholic Church with a supposed dead Jesus on a cross declaring he's dead, and they boldly have proof they killed him when they display his dead body for eons before the people. The Roman priests refused to believe Christ is risen and Christ will come again. If they did, they would at least remove him from that cross. And also notice the word victim of the Mass is the Latin word for hostia. Victim is hostia. And that is why the Catholic Church calls their Eucharist a host when you eat it. And they've been doing that for 2,000 years. And no, I'm not saying that every Catholic believes, like they're Satanists and stuff, you know, that they themselves are saying. No, they're simply pawns in the hands of Satan on this. And until they wake up and snap out of it, and especially during the loud cry, they're going to burn to ash and hellfire just like anybody. And by the way, when Santa Claus says, ho, 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 Merry Christmas, he is openly and boldly mocking the sacrifice of Christ with laughter. And by the way, he's also mocking our Lord with the ho, ho, ho. I'll get to that in a second. But before going there, a true Christian would want to examine and guard everything they say because Jesus our Lord said to us in Matthew 12, verses 36 to 37, he said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And speaking of Santa, there are way too many things proving him, or her, for that matter, to be extremely evil. And when I say her, you will understand in a minute. But first, notice how Satan, which is also Santa, just move the end to the end, Notice how it's displayed with, you know, Santa is displayed with pride as a Roman Catholic saint, because they're the ones that invented Santa Claus. But notice how the Vatican mocks Jesus Christ with how they structured and built Santa. Santa has white hair like wool, curly and all that, and silky. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, or Daniel 7, verse 9. I'm just going to give you a bunch. Well, as a matter of fact, I'll put them on the screen for you. Let me go to that section of the browser of the Christmas page. Where is it here? Nope, that's Chrislam. Let me just go to holidays, Christmas. There it is. Okay, so I'm gonna read these right off of here for you. And you can copy and paste these. They're on the site. So this way, Sean doesn't have to kill himself to try to get every one of these verses in screen. And so, but anyway, there you go. Has white hair like wool. Well, check out those, you know, Revelation 1:14 and Daniel 7:9. His beard is curly and white. Well, Isaiah 50, verse 6. I'm not going to read all the verses. You can see them on the screen. And for those of you that don't see them, I'll put the link in the text chat, because if you're on WTPR, odds are you're also in the text chat. So let me just... There. You can click that. It'll bring you right to this section. That's why it's got the VS on the on the bottom of it. Yeah, it'll just, yeah, okay, it brings you right to it. That's a little bookmark, they call it. Okay, and he comes from the North Pole. Also, if you look in Ezra, you'll see what I mean, as well as Exodus and Psalms. He's omniscient. He knows about all. Well, we know what the Lord, what the Revelation says. Santa is considered ageless and eternal. He's always the same age. Every time you see him, he's an old guy, right? He's never young. So, Revelation, Hebrews, okay, you can go there. Santa makes the list of judgments. Well, we're in the investigative judgment right now. Santa checks his list twice. Well, check out those three verses right there, number 7. Santa gives gifts based on a list. Well, if you remember Matthew 25 and, you know, the talents and all that stuff, and Revelation as well talks about it. Christmas rewards once yearly. Check out Leviticus, Day of Atonement. Confess your wrongs to Santa. Well, because he's got to know if you're naughty or nice, right? And so we'll check out 1 John or 1 Timothy. Promise to be better next year. Well, look at John and 1 John, all those verses. Santa asks children to obey your parents. Well, we all know about command number 5 and going on from there, all those other verses. The hour of Santa's coming is a mystery. No matter how many times I try when I was a little kid to try to catch him coming down that chimney, never got him. But every time I woke up in the morning, all those presents were there, and it was a bite out of that cookie. So how'd he do it? No. He's always a mystery, right? That's for the little kids, obviously. Rudolph's shining red nose to guide him. Just check out Matthew in Numbers. You might chuckle a little bit, but 15 says he calls all children to his knee. So did Jesus. And Santa says, be good for goodness sake. And so does Jesus, obviously. Santa has a twinkle in his eye. Check out Revelation 1 and Revelation 2. Santa Claus is swift to visit the whole world in one day. Now, we all know about the second coming. Santa Claus is omnipresent. He's found in every mall. Well, check out Psalms or Ephesians. And then Santa Claus says, ho, ho, ho. Check out Zechariah chapter 2, verse 6. As a matter of fact, put it in the room if you can there, Brother Sean. Some people might say, oh, come on. It doesn't say ho-ho in the Bible. Yeah, it does. So, but I'm sure some of you, okay, I just saw the, oh, that was me changing screens. Sorry, I got to put it back to something. Or are we going to just have a black screen there? Thought maybe I lost the link again to the stream. So, but yeah, look at that. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 6 says, ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, you know, the North Pole, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of heaven, saith the Lord. So, there you go. But I'm sure, and I'm thinking I'm probably going to close with this because we're running kind of late here. Yeah, there's just too much to share. I'm going to close with this part. Oh, no, I think I'll throw one more in because it really irks me, this one, because this is the one that really upset me many, many years ago, and it was the catalyst to what brought us to pull the kids out of the schools after, not long after that, the schools said that they were going to tell the kids that it's okay to have two mommies and two daddies. But something happened before that that got me very upset. And they tried this, they tried to do something to my son, Luke, when he was like seven, I think. But anyway, why did I say that Santa could also be a her a moment ago? And are you aware that the prophet Daniel predicted the Roman Catholic leaders would be homosexuals? I mean, when speaking of the structure and fruit of the future and final global rule of the beast system, Daniel clearly said in Daniel 11:37 that the people running the Vatican, because that's really what he's talking about there, are not going to have a desire for women. They're going to be homosexuals. And so how is this connected to Santa Claus, who is a Roman Catholic saint that is openly worshipped by billions of children under the direction of their very own parents, of which I'm also going to touch on in a moment? Notice the confirmed observations based on comments by some pastor named John Knox of Deland, Florida. I actually have this on the Christmas page. I do not know this man personally. I don't even know if he's a Sabbath keeper, to be honest with you, but what he said is true. And so I posted it on the site. But in Latin and in Spanish, this is now his words, he says, San, S-A-N, is used before the names of male saints, such as San Juan, San Luis Obispo, and San Diego, right? Also, he goes on to say, Santa is used before the names of female saints, such as Santa Maria, Santa Lucia, Santa Ana, I would add. And then he goes on to say, from this linguistic usage, we can determine that St. Nicholas somehow morphed into Santa Claus. This would seem to indicate one of two things. Number one, Santa Claus is in fact a lady who is cross-dressed in a man's outfit, complete with fake beard. And by the way, I don't know if I put it on the site. I have it in one of my videos. Whoopi Goldberg actually referred to Santa Claus as a woman on The View a couple of years ago, and I used it on something, a video or something. I should have put it on the Christmas page. And in this particular section, I should have put it. Matter of fact, I forgot about it. But he goes on to say that this would be a real encouragement to the feminists to agitate for equal hiring and affirmative action to see more lady Santa Clauses. But yeah, I think he was just being sarcastic. And then number two, he says St. Nicholas is a drag queen who is using a female name, Santa Claus, as some sort of signal to the gay community. Okay, he does assume that Rome is doing this for feminists or the homosexuals, which is in fact true on certain levels, but what is being missed here by even this pastor is why this was done. Man is created in the image of God, and so the ultimate way to soil the image of God is for man to be homosexual, thereby making the God of the Bible look like a lesser God. But like I said the other day, I think it was like last Friday night or something, he does this in front of the angels, and I'm wondering if this is because of to keep them at bay or something like that, forcing the humans, making the demons go into the humans and making them become homosexuals and stuff like that, so as to, you know, it's just a weird mindset. I'm trying to figure out why he does it. I know it's the main reason for it is to because man was made in the image of God. When man does these goofy things behind closed doors, it makes God look bad. Because the angels looking on know what God looks like. No man can see God, of course, but the angels know what he looks like. And they know what Jesus looks like. And so, yeah. And so this behavior was expected of them. In fact, most are unaware of this, but the reason the Lord got so upset so as to send a flood to kill everyone on the planet, except Noah and his family, was because homosexuality was finally globally legalized, just as it was recently been done in our generation, starting in the USA by Obama. That's why you saw that Newsweek thing, you know, America's first gay president. And so this is the reason Jesus said what he said in Luke 17:26, which was, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man, like when he comes back. And Jesus also does confirm and later on that it had to do with, well, I'll just read it, verses 29 to 30, Luke 17, 29 to 30. It says, But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And so, yeah. And part of the preparation, by the way, I don't know if you guys will ever realize this, though. I'm thinking of doing a study on this, if the Lord would please remind me, is right before the people of Israel were brought out of bondage, they had to be prepared to enter into the promised land of Cana, which, of course, would be symbolic of the wedding, the promised land, just like why Jesus had the first miracle at Cana, in symbolic of wedding, starting the wedding feast, if you will. They had to be prepared with trials and whatnot, but there were 10 plagues of Pharaoh, of which the Jews had to deal with the first three, but the last seven, no. Well, the same thing with us. The Gideon band are going to have to go through seven plagues to be prepared for what happens at the end. Of course, we go into the wedding feast. He's coming for his bride, and so we got to be prepared. It's just like when Esther, too, when she was selected as a queen, she had to be prepared for a year and whatnot. So, but anyway, the demons that ran rampant in Noah's day are the same ones that are doing it now. So, but let me just touch on something here, and I'll close with this. I'm going to share afterwards some of these Ellen White statements in regards to how that exposes the Seventh-day Adventist Church for not really being obedient, not being obedient to the Lord at all, in fact. But in closing, and I must say I could do a series of sermons on this topic alone, but I'm only going to share one more thing about Christmas that irks me the most, because it has to do with how the Jesuit infiltration, as well as the herd mentality of most people, the fact that parents do this to their own children shocks me. And how this relates to my son Luke was, one day the teachers contacted me and my wife and said they wanted to put Luke in special education. And he's one of the more intelligent children we have. I mean, you always get children, they're all intelligent, but some of them are a little bit off the chart, and Luke's one of those. And I'm thinking, what? For what? You know, she said, he doesn't believe in Santa Claus. Yeah. It was all I could do to, well, it was all Fran could do to prevent me from taking a walk to that school. But, yeah. Yeah, this is, no. So I had an opportunity to preach and share and say, he doesn't believe in Santa Claus because he doesn't believe in lies. And this is, we're not going to teach our children lies. And this is what I told her. Parents all over the world have been telling bold-faced lies to their children since birth about a fat man in a red suit that comes down a chimney to place gifts beneath the tree, right? And she's listening. I'm pretty sure I told her this over the phone. But now guess what happens when the child comes of age? Pops out of adolescence, maybe puberty, who knows? Whenever the kid realizes that mommy and daddy have been lying to him the whole time about some fat guy that's going to come down the chimney. And not only that, the child now realizes that it worked. This is deadly. This is satanic. And this is why my son doesn't believe in Santa Claus, The child will actually realize one day that his parents lied to him about the fat man. And he believed them deep down inside. He knows his own being. He is sentient. He knows that he's well, self-aware, sentient, like a cat can look in a mirror and go, oh, there's another cat. They don't have sentient ability. We do. Put a mirror in the wild. I mean, they got them on YouTube. It's really neat to watch. The giant mirrors that you can't break, they put them in the jungles. And watch how the animals react to them. They're thinking somebody's coming and invading their territory. And so, but anyway, the kid realizes one day that mommy and daddy have been lying to them the whole time about Santa Claus, and now he realized it was all a lie, and it worked. He believed them. He knows he believed them because he knows he believed them, right? He actually realizes that his parents lied, and he now has concrete evidence that lying not only works, it's a very resourceful tool that he can use to his advantage. And his very own parents taught him. Now, whether or not that teacher ever decided to knock it off and stop telling kids that Santa Claus was real, I don't know. I hope she did. But if she had, and I may have even asked her, ma'am, do you got kids? Are you teaching them this? Because your kids are going to one day realize you lied to them. You want to do that? Seriously? But who knows? We don't know where it went from there. Because, you know, I never contacted them back. So, praise the Lord. If you want more information, and I'm going to finish with this, and then we're going to have a song, and then we'll pray out. But let me just read off what's on this menu. For those of you that are listening on WTPR, you can't see what I'm looking at here. Let me go to the browser once again and go to the top. And this is all you can find out by going to the Xmas page. Eventually, there will be a link that talks about the wreath that I started the sermon with. And then you'll see what the Bible says about blending paganism with Christianity. And then, of course, the name Christ Mass or Christmas. The term Merry Christmas, the date, December 25th, Jesus Christ was not born anywhere near that date, but someone else was, and you'll be shocked to find out who. Did early Christians celebrate Christmas? No, as a matter of fact, it was illegal in the USA until the Jesuits came in and kind of watered it down. You want historic referencing on how that all went down? Watch the movie The Scrooge, because The Scrooge is you, brothers and sisters, that don't do Christmas, and all the ones that are doing the Christmas are the Catholics that came into the USA and whittled down the willpower of the real Christians. And then the origin of gift giving. Then you got the birthday celebrations. I just threw that in there because it is considered a birthday of Jesus, and so there's a reason for the birthday celebrations too. It all has to do with paganism. It started with Pharaoh, in fact, as well as the horoscope. That started with Pharaoh. And then, of course, Christmas and sun worship. That's why it's on a specific day of the year, the winter solstice. Then you got the pagan Christmas tree. I don't like discussing that, or the Yuletide log, or even the mistletoe in mixed company, because of the vulgarity of it all has to do with sex, okay? And then the hanging of the stockings, the lighted candles, the Catholic ordinance, the lie of Santa Claus that all parents tell their children, they just shared a moment ago. And then, of course, how Santa Claus is strangely compared to Jesus Christ, right down to the ho-ho-ho. And then I have that one on video, by the way. And where do the red and green colors come from? Who's to blame for all the pagan infiltration? Well, that's a no-brainer. And Baal and pagan worship versus Catholicism, that's a huge section. Pagan sun worship melded with Christian sun worship. You know, so you got the S-U-N and you got the S-O-N. And an oral report by Joshua to his freshman class in high school. I can't remember, it was one of the brothers in the faith years ago. I think he's still a member of the church. And then I have a new way of look at Christmas. I think it's that audio clip that everybody, you know, please don't play it. After I'm done here, please don't play it, because, you know, play it later maybe if you want to, but, you know, we've heard that so many times, you know, that, you know, the boyfriend one, you know, talking to, about Christmas. And then the strange weeds in the Garden of God, there's a section about that. How Satan mocks God on Merchant's Day. Yeah, they do that too. Christmas contrasts is the section two, and then Jesus wouldn't have a problem with Christmas Day, his actual poem, but it's long, so I'm not going to read it. But actually, I should have put a question mark on the end of that. But the person who wrote the poem didn't put a question mark, so I'm not going to put a question mark. And but when you read it, you'll understand it. Whoa, why am I doing Christmas? And then, is Santa Claus a woman? You know, the cross-dresser thing. And then this entire page is translated into Russian because Sister Vera insisted on it. And then I got a section for the SDAs. And then, of course, links on topics. And the links, these, I think, were pulled. This website went belly up or something like that. CNN promotes Santa's husband. Okay. Oh, I may have put it on here. Maybe Whoopi Goldberg is in here. Oh, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, Santa. I wonder if they pulled the video. Oh, no, it's my video. Okay, so, yeah, I got a video showing that CNN actually, you know, promoted Santa's husband, you know. Let's see, Christmas Exposed, Christmas Idolatry. I can't remember who Nisbet is, but that's Mike Scheifler. Does anybody... Oh, his site's back up. Praise the Lord. I thought he died or something because I tried going to the main site and it was down. And he's got a lot of good stuff on his site. It's Christmas for Christians. That's that video. And whatever, but this here, I think this X-Files, no, it's still there. Xmas Files, yeah. There's still, I can't remember who that is, but I go on from there. But anyway, you get the – oh, this is the SDA section, in fact. I'll be reading that, some of it, a little while later. But hope and pray you were blessed. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. Oh, come and sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
Oh, come and sing
to the Lord.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing a new song unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing a new song unto the Lord, bless His name. Worship the Lord for His good. Worship the Lord for His good. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord for His good.
Oh, come and sing.
Worship the Lord for His good.
The Lord a new song.
Worship the Lord for His good.
Oh, come and sing.
Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord for His good.
For the Lord is great and ready to be praised.
Praise ye the Lord for His good, worthy of praise. Praise ye the Lord for His good, worthy of praise. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with all your heart.
Oh, come and see.
Serve the Lord with all
sing
your heart.
Serve
the Lord with all
oh,
your heart.
Come and sing.
Serve the Lord.
Serve
the Lord with all your heart.
For the Lord is
great
and ready to be praised.
Serve ye the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind. Serve ye the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind.
Sing a new song, a new song
unto the Lord,
all of the earth. Worship the
precious
the
Please do so. We're going to pray here. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence and giving us all that we need in regards to the truth. Let it be planted deep into the good soil of our hearts so that we can warn people about what's going on in this world. So many people are embracing pagan theology and pagan this or pagan that, thinking it's Christian. They actually think it's Christian, and then they don't think it's a big deal because it's been going on for so many decades. They don't think it's a problem, but you see it as a problem. Help us to give us, please give us the words that will cut their hearts to make sense to them, to realize that he loves you and he wants you to love him back. He wants you to do it right. He wants you to go home because he wants to be able to trust you throughout eternity. And if you're following lies, he can't trust you to do truth, you know, and share truth. And so please bless us, Father, with those words. And please bless everyone in our prayer list here in every way that they can be blessed. And thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us. And when the latter rain falls, thank you for letting us be ready for it and helping us. And thank you for that desire in our hearts to be ready. And we again lift up everyone on our prayer list, all those mentioned in the prayer request earlier as well. Father, we love you, and we thank you for loving us first. And thank you for accepting this prayer in the name of your precious Son, our King, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.